Hello and welcome to another episode of the Cowling Arboretum podcast, brought to you by the Cole Student Naturalist Program. My name is Kate Newton-Boom, and today I will be talking to you about the significance of geese on our campus, why they sometimes stick around in the winter, and what their very existence symbolizes for the history of the conservation movement in North America. Most Carleton students and staff are well acquainted with our resident flock of honking Canada geese who live on and around Lyman Lakes. Much like the fluctuating population of college students in Northfield, the geese here are often seen as harbingers of seasonal change, whose amassing in the fall precedes their migration south, and whose noisy return in the spring signifies the onset of warmer days. The connection of geese to seasons is so widespread that the environmentalist writer Sigurd Olsen once poetically described their autumnal passage as a long skein of dots undulating like a floating ribbon pulled toward the south by an invisible cord tied to the point of its V. Aldo Leopold once described their return by writing that one swallow does not make a summer, but one skein of geese, cleaving the murk of a March thaw, is the spring. However, as many of you on campus have likely noticed in the first few weeks of winter term, the geese often hang around despite cold and wintry weather. Here in southern Minnesota, we are actually in a zone that often hosts the southernmost geese in the summer and the northernmost geese in the winter. This is because our transitory geese are really not so concerned with temperature, and are actually content as long as there is open water still available for them. So as long as some pockets of Lyman Lakes remain unfrozen, the geese stay. This presence of geese even in the winter leads many to view them as this sort of ever-present annoyance, which is maybe true, especially for our residents of Goodhue, who are just trying to sleep. But in understanding the conservation history of the Canada goose in North America, one may actually begin to view their overabundance as something close to beautiful. So towards the end of the 19th century, geese were almost driven to extinction by hunting and habitat loss. In the 1920s, just after the definitive loss of the passenger pigeon, the government began a movement to breed and release geese into natural areas in an attempt to save them. However, it was really the proliferation of manicured lawns and parks in the mid-20th century that provided ample enough habitat for the geese to rapidly reproduce. A fun fact, the iconic giant Canada goose, a subspecies which was thought to be extinct, was rediscovered in North America for the first time in a park in nearby Rochester, Minnesota. And now, a century after their near extinction, geese are obviously doing just fine, even pestilential in their profiting off of seemingly every open park and farm field and space that they can find, including our own Lyman Lakes. But though they may seem more of a nuisance now than a conservation success symbol, there is beauty yet in their ubiquity. As the last scraps of open water on Lyman Lakes were sealed by the winter ice only a few days ago, the geese have begun to migrate south, and already campus is much quieter. Their departure coincides with the recent death of the poet Mary Oliver, whose poem Wild Geese provides poignant reflection as our own wild geese take to the skies. Maybe they'll be back come spring, or maybe before. But whether you miss their incessant late-night honking or are grateful for their absence, remember that there was a time not so long ago that the geese were in danger of being silenced entirely and forever. A time when Aldo Leopold wrote, in worry for the future, "What if there be no more deer in the hills and no more quail in the coverts? No more snipe whistling in the meadow, no more piping of widgeons and chattering of teal as darkness covers the marshes. No more whistling of swift wings when the morning star pales in the east. And when the dawn wind stirs through ancient cottonwoods, and the gray light steals down from the hills over the old river sliding softly past its wide brown sandbars. What if there be no more goose music?" The information in this podcast was greatly enhanced by the articles Migration Season by Sylvie Stanbeck and How Our Geese Were Almost Cooked by Eliza Malakoff, both of which can be found on the Cowling Arboretum website. You also heard quotes from essays in A Sand County Almanac by Aldo Leopold, and from the book The Singing Wilderness by Sigurd Olsen. Thank you for listening today. This has been another episode of the Cowling Arboretum podcast.